on. Oh, there it is. There it is. There's power. There's power in the name of Jesus, huh? There's power in the blood of Jesus. You know that old song? There's power, power, wonder-working power. In the precious blood of Jesus. Yes. Amen. There's no other power for the church. The church should never look to anything else but Jesus Christ. That's where we get in trouble. Even in our personal lives, huh? When we look to something else instead of Jesus Christ. As I was praying this morning, we try to get here early and just pray in the morning. That scripture of they overcame him. I was just praying and just blurted out of my mouth. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I said, Lord, thank you, Father. Look, let me tell you this. You can have victory in every part of your life because Jesus has given us victory. Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus. Not that we have done anything, but we are partaking in what Jesus has done. And what Jesus has done has broke the enemy's power over all of our hearts and over our lives because we have accepted Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. And because we've done that, the power of the Holy Spirit is unleashed upon our lives to lead us and guide us and to do a mighty work in us and through us. You might say, well, Pastor, what if I fail? Well, look, you fail, you call upon the name of the Lord, you repent and you turn and you say, okay, now, Lord, lead me and guide me. Look, he's so faithful unto us, so faithful unto us. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And if anybody wants addresses today, I mean, we can tear it if we need to, you know, but somebody has scissors back there that we can cut it, you know, so we can get that done. So, amen. The power of our God, the power of our God. I hope everyone had a great Mother's Day last week. I hope everything went well for you, that you were honored and loved and felt appreciated. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, maybe this or that. But let me tell you, look at the good in everything. Look at the good. Look at the good and what God can do. What God can do and what God wants to do. Praise God. There's a song called, and I know I've shared this song already. It's called Rock of Ages by Augustus Toplady. He wrote this. This guy wrote it in the 1740s in England. He had went, preached somewheres, and as he was coming home, you know, they didn't have vehicles like we have today. They just had buggy and horses and all that stuff. And a big thunderstorm came. And, you know, because in the buggy, you know, you're going to get wet. You're going to get wet. So it was so hard, the rain, that he felt that he needed to stop somewheres and find some kind of shelter to wait it out, you know, till it would pass. You know how we get thunderstorms sometimes, especially during the summer in the afternoons. You know what I mean? It's beautiful. Then all of a sudden, it just hurries and comes. And in 15 minutes, it has passed, but it has put down a lot of water. And I know we've missed some rain this weekend. Yes. Thank you, Lord. We don't want the bad weather, you know, but we need some rain, though. We need some rain. But God is faithful. And so here he, I don't want to say parks his buggy, but he stops his buggy and he's looking to find a place. And there's rocks, big, huge rocks that are all around about him where he was at. And he sees a place where he can go into a cliff and hide, and say hide from the rain there. And during that time is when he wrote the song that I'm going to read to you. Usually it's in the times of hard times that we may go through where something springs up on the inside of us. It's like God just puts maybe a scripture on the inside of us, like something rises up. Even though the difficulty may be there and nothing has changed, still God will put something on the inside to get our focus back on Him and what He can do and what He can accomplish. You see, we serve a great God, people, and there's no other one like Him. That there isn't anything too hard that God cannot solve for His children if we will lay it out before Him. Even though, as we read in Revelations, that the accuser of the brethren is there accusing us day and night, day and night, day and night. That God, in His infinite power, moves upon situations in our hearts and in our lives. And we finally know through the tough times that He's faithful. That He will come through no matter what. That He is the great provider. He's the banner over us that protects us from the enemy and all his tactics. That's the power of our God working in us and through us to get the job done. To get things done for the kingdom of God. But this is the song. It's called Rock of Ages, and you probably know it. It says, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy ravine side which flowed, O be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. O look to thee for grace. Vile I do the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Amen. Praise, look, people, before we get in the scriptures, hide yourself in God. Amen. You might say, how do I do it? Call upon Him. Just hide in Him. Just hide in Him. The enemy is there to destroy you. The enemy is there to destroy your family. The enemy is there to destroy your children. The enemy is there to destroy your grandchildren. The enemy is there to destroy. But God has come to give us life. And we can have that life if we put ourselves in that cleft and let that cleft, which is God Almighty, protect us from the evils of the world and the evils of the enemy. Because you see, the arrows are constantly flowing. Yes, from the enemy, huh? I mean, constantly. I mean, trying to bombard your mind, trying to bombard your heart, trying to bombard anything he can to bring destruction. But I tell you what, God has given us the guide. God has shown us what to do. We can hide ourselves in him as we take that word and we say, okay, Lord, I trust in you. I trust in you. I trust in you because you are a faithful, faithful, faithful God. Even though the waters may be rising up, he's faithful to the end. He's faithful, faithful. Walk around and say, my God is faithful. Even though you might not feel it, you might not sense it, but you know on the inside of you, something is raging on the inside of you, that he is a faithful, faithful God unto you no matter what. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and to destroy the faith of God's people in Jesus Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross. But Christ came to raise the faith of his people to believe him for the miraculous, to believe him for the impossible, to believe him for the things that God has put upon our hearts. You see, who is true? God is true. Who is true? God is true. Who is faithful? God is faithful. Who is faithful? God is faithful. God is faithful. Even though the waters may be rising up, even though the situation may be rising up, even though the thing you brought to God day after day after day, and it does not seem like it's getting better, you keep on pursuing God and let the waters rise. Because we got to stay in that ark, which is in Christ Jesus, no matter what. No matter what's going on, people, God is working and moving and doing a mighty work in the hearts and lives of His people. Trust Him like never before. Don't walk by feelings. Don't walk by what you see. Walk by what God has put on the inside of you. Because that's truth. His word is truth. It says in Proverbs, trust the Lord with all thine heart. That's not easy. That's not an easy thing. But I tell you what, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the help of our God, we can trust Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As we serve Him continuously, get in that cliff and just stay there, saying, Lord, no matter what happens, I'll serve You. I will be on Your side. I will tell people about the Lord, about You. I will share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you see, that is the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to tell people about Christ. To pray with people. Is the Holy Spirit's job to work on us, to sanctify us, to justify us, to cleanse us, to move upon our hearts, and to help us to accomplish what He desires and wants to do. Every one of you, and even myself, God has done miraculous things in each of our lives. If it wasn't for the Lord, most of us wouldn't be married today. Amen. Well, we know one got back. Amen. That's a whole nother story. Lord, have mercy. But God is God, and He knows what He's doing. But if it wasn't for God, where would we be? Stay in that cliff. Stay that cleft part. Stay in there, in that part that brings protection on the top of you, that brings protection on the side of you, and let God do what He needs to do. And it's not easy because we like to move. We like to do things with our hands. We like to get the job done. Now, there's a purpose and a time for that, and we're going to read about that in a few minutes. There's a purpose and time, but there's a purpose and time for getting with our Lord and simply letting Him work in us. Doing the surgery that needs to be done. Taking out those things that need to be taken out. And putting those things in that need to be put in to our hearts and into our lives. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, First Corinthians, page 2017. Hallelujah to the King. Amen. In verse 6, we're going to read verse 6, and we're going to go back, and then we're going to go and read verse 11, okay? 6 and 11 of that same chapter in 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 6. It says, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, the first part of chapter of verse 6, it says, I'm going to read it again. Now, these things were our examples. Then look at verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, for they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These two things were written by the Apostle Paul. And he wrote this, and he said, and what he was talking about was about the things that were written about in the Old Testament. And he was telling the Corinthian church that the Old Testament, the things that were written there, the examples that they gave, the miracles that happened, the things that happened in the Old Testament were for us today, as an example of what to do and what not to do, how to believe God and how not to believe God. In certain areas, you're to do what God wanted us to do in those areas. And so they are examples. Now, thank God he's given us many things in the Old Testament, because we're going to go to one and we're going to see how God moved upon that situation and changed circumstances because they obeyed what God wanted them to do. Now, look at this. Go to Exodus chapter 17. Page 139. So always remember that they were not just written just to write. One long, long time ago, I remember I was preaching, and this is a long time ago, and you learn as you go, and I said, oh, you don't need the Old Testament. And I remember when I said it, something pierced my heart, and I couldn't take it back, you know. And so we need the Old Testament so we have the examples of what we should and should not do. But we live in the New Covenant, which is the New Testament, okay? I don't want to live in the Old Covenant. You have this Abraham movement coming back and all this stuff, wanting to live in the Old Testament or the Old Testament. Don't do it. That's ungodly. That's not good. We live in the New Testament, the New Covenant, which is with Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, which gives us liberty and freedom. In the Old Covenant, they had a God that would come upon certain men and women. In the New Covenant, we have a God that lives with every believer that desires him on the inside. Wow! What a difference! It's just not a select few that he chose to do certain things. But now the Spirit of God lives in each and every one of us and is moving on the inside of us. And miraculous things are coming about because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And you see, the Holy Spirit couldn't come till the perfect sacrifice was given. And that was Jesus. Here we see in Exodus chapter 17, starting with verse 8, it says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. And I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write these for a memorial in the book. This is the first recording of the Bible. Book is capitalized. That means it's the Bible, the book, the first writings of it. Not just no ordinary book. I don't care if it's on the top 10 seller list. Or what, it doesn't matter. Those are just books. And, you know, anointed by God, but there's something about the Word of God that comes from God Almighty. There's something different. It's alive and well, recorded. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, our banner. And he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Here we see a great example of what God can do when we let the Spirit of God move and do what he wants to do. They had come out of Egypt and miraculously came out of Egypt. The Egyptians should have destroyed the Israelites. They should still be in captivity today. But you see, they didn't realize the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that Israel, yes, they turned from God at times, but yet they were still set apart and they were used to bring the word of God upon this nation and upon the world. That's why they're hated so severely. So severely. The Jewish people are hated. I love the Jewish people. And God will raise them up again to do mighty works. Can you imagine the new Jerusalem will be in Jerusalem? It will come down. The headquarters. You know, people say, well, I want to get away from this earth. I often say, well, the headquarters of heaven will be upon the earth one day. Can you imagine that? It will come from heaven above. The new Jerusalem, and will set down upon Jerusalem. And will be the new Jerusalem. The new headquarters of our God, of all the universe. How much love does God have for his people, us, that he would take what he has somewhere else and bring it down from heaven and let it stand upon the earth till eternity. And eternity with him is eternity. Can you imagine? My God. And our new residence will not be in Kaplan or Gaidon anymore, but our new residence will be in Jerusalem. The house of our God. Being with him 24/7, accomplishing and doing what he desires and wants to do. Praise God Almighty. God chose these people. Yes, they were stiff-necked. And yes, they still are. And yet they still, as a Jewish nation, they believe Jesus was a great man and a good, maybe a prophet. But they still don't believe that he's the Savior of the world. But one day, there are Jews being saved. One day, they'll recognize that their Savior came and has liberated them. Their Savior came. He is our Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God Almighty. Look, we need to shout about our God. Don't ever let anybody make you not talk about him or say evil against him. He is our God, our Lord, the Savior of the world. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah to our God. My God. Verse 8, it says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. God brought Israel out of Egypt miraculously. I mean, look, miraculously. They got to the Red Sea and miraculously, Moses, led by the Spirit of God, took that rod and pointed it as God said to. He could have pointed it to the heavens and nothing would have happened. But you see, we have to follow what God says. And he pointed it towards the Red Sea. And that sea opened up on the command. And all of Israel, and even some Egyptians in the midst of them, walked upon dry ground to the other side. And we know the children of the Egyptian army came. And it closed in upon them and destroyed them. The miracle working power of our God. They got to the place where they saw God doing miracles. Turning bitter water into sweet water. Giving them the meat that they needed to live upon. You know, seeing what God can do. Finally, they get to the place where God says, okay now. I'm doing everything for you. Now it's time for you to trust me again, and you need to fight. This is the first battle we're going to talk about. The first battle they go through. As far as them physically doing something. Otherwise, God would take care of the enemy and destroy it however he wanted. And they did. All they did was sit back. And hey, that's in our God with us too. When we first got saved, everything happened. It seemed like, oh my God, things were falling off. God, the power of God was being manifested like never before. Then all of a sudden he says, okay, now it's time to grow up a little bit. Yes, huh? And it's not easy because we like to just lay down and say, okay, Lord, give me the milk. You know, hey, if somebody's going to give it for free, might as well just lay it down. Okay, lay down and let's get it, you know. I mean, what I'm saying is God saying, okay, now it's time to rise up. And here we see Amalek and that army came against the children of Israel. I wonder, did they not hear about how God took them out of Egypt? I wonder, did they not hear how he opened the Red Sea for them? Did they not see or hear about the cloud, the pillar of fire out by night that would lead them, and the cloud by day that would keep them cool? Did they not hear about how he made water sweet for them, the power of Almighty God? Did they not hear for them to come and say, we don't like these people, and come and have war against them? And Moses being their God, I tell you what, the one thing about Moses that I've seen in Scripture, and we need to do what he would do all the time, basically. Every time somebody came against the children of Israel, or something happened, or he had to make a decision, what did he do? He ran to God. Maybe he learned after he killed the Egyptian and was 40 years somewhere else, that he learned you trust God and you go to him first. We need to do that. Trust God first, not last. Trust God first. Something happens, you can call 100 people, and that's okay. We need people that we can trust, that we can say, hey, can you pray for me? But I tell you what, go to him first, because you can call on a lot of 100 people, but that may not help as much as calling upon him, the source of your strength, the source of your power, the source that can get you through no matter what's happening. The power of Almighty God. Looking at what God can do no matter what, people. Letting God be God on the inside of us. And it says, Moses said unto Joshua, choose men and go out and fight the Amalekites. The first time they were to go out and fight. Moses says, Joshua, and you know Joshua is, is the replica or basically of Jesus, Yeshua. And Moses said, Joshua, take the men and go fight. See, Moses went to God and said, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to just lay back and you take care of them? And you bring destruction? You bring boils upon their bodies? What do you want to do, Lord? And he said, get Joshua. He had to choose the right man. See, in the church, you got to choose the right man or the right woman that God says. Amen. Not what you see on the outside.
Yeah, that's right.
Man is fooled by the outside. Yeah. God cannot be fooled because he knows the heart of man. Knows the heart. And that's what God looks at. He doesn't look at perfection. Because none of us would qualify. What he looks at is a heart that yearns for the things of God. He looks at a heart that person that is looking to God for help. He's looking for a person that will look to God and say, Lord, I need you. I desire you. And I want you. He chose Joshua. And he took his... Moses went up the hill. Now, that's by the Spirit of God. Joshua went out into the valley to fight. And I know the Spirit of God must have talked to Moses and said, now get up to that hill. And Moses, being of age, people, he wasn't a young man, climbed that mountain with two guys. They got up there and they looked down, and we know the story. He looks down and the battle's raging. They take in their swords and they're trying to destroy the enemy. See, we can fight, but if we don't fight the enemy by the Spirit of God, we will lose. You and I are defeated. But I tell you what, you take a man or a woman filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the power of God, has been commissioned by God, has been ordained by God, has been known by God, and he tells him, go and do the work. Go and do what needs to be done. Let me tell you, there's nothing the enemy can throw at him, even though he's going to God or one of his angels, demon spirits, go to God and is saying things against us, accusing us. God, still in his power and majesty, gives us the grace and the knowledge and the power to do what God wants us to do. Look, it's by a miracle. You know it's a miracle this church is here? I'm telling you. This area doesn't have this. It doesn't. There's no other Pentecostal church in this area over here. You don't know how many people told us we'd fail. You don't know how many people said we wouldn't make it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what man says. And it does not matter what man says about your life. What matters is what God says and what God commissions and what God appoints, God anoints, the power of Almighty God. Aaron, as they up there, Aaron and they, you know, he sees and they notice by the Spirit. You know, when you're going through something, God will show you things. Just like when he's in the cliff. God shows us things as we're fighting the enemy. God will show us things. And here, Moses, you see, the leader that God put in charge, God shows the leader what to do. Now, I don't know if they all three saw what they were seeing, because they could look down and they see the battle and they see what's going on. And they notice that, hey, when Moses' arms are up, we're winning. Now, God could have chosen anything he wanted to do. God could have destroyed them even when they thought about attacking the Israelites. Look, when you put your life in the hands of God, there's no demon in hell. There's no devil himself that can do harm to you unless God allows whatever he wants to allow. Our God is in charge. Our God is in charge. He's in charge of your heart and your life. But somehow they notice it by the Spirit of God. And Moses said, oh my God, now being of age, you know, it's hard to lift your hands high for a long time, huh? It is. You being young too. It just it gravity pulls. Gravity pulls. And he would just, oh, I'm tired, okay. Even though the rod was in his hand as a reminder, hey Moses, a reminder to him, look what I did in Egypt. Look what I did with the water when he struck the rock. Look what I did. It was a reminder. We have a reminder, the Word of God, to remind us to go back to the Old Testament and to read about what God did, to read about how he supplied for them, to read about how faithful God is to us. Sometimes we get in the little, oh me, oh my, sometimes, and we all go there. But let me tell you, don't forget what God has done. Don't forget what God has. Say, Lord, remind me. Remind me. Remind me of the miracle of providing for me. Remind me of the word that you gave to me. I know many of you, God has spoken a word to you. And let me tell you, the enemy will do everything he can to stop the word from being performed in you. But this is what we do. We trust our God. we trust our God, that what he said he would do, he will make it happen. But we have to do our part. We got to trust him. We got to keep our hearts right before him. We got to seek him like never before. And all of a sudden, they know. And Moses said, look, Aaron and her, I need some help. Can you hold up? And look, even holding up somebody's arm, that takes a lot. Takes a lot, huh? But when it comes down to winning the battle in the kingdom of God, we do what we have to do. It's not easy praying. And when I say pray, I mean just talking to God, praying. But I tell you, prayer changes things. It changes us. It changes the situation, and it makes us rely more upon God. And all of a sudden, they just kept on holding his hands up. Surrender to him. Surrender to him. Surrender to him. No matter what. No matter what. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. See, and I'm talking to the spiritual, just keep your hands up no matter what. No matter if the situation gets worse. It just says every time they noticed his hands were up, that they were winning. So obviously they were losing at times. And even when he said for the last, we got, Aaron, come over here, hold my hands up. I wonder how long it took for the situation and the battle to change. I wonder. But we know this, as we trust him and we keep our hands lifted up towards our God, that he will take control of all situations. Yes, amen. And he will handle what needs to be handled. Trust him. And look, trust him doesn't mean that just because your faith may have weighed a little bit, that you're not trusting him. It just means you stir back and you get back to him. Amen. And you say, now, Lord, from this day forward, help me. Help me. Help me. As Peter was walking on that water, I don't know of another man that has done that I know of. I don't know. I mean, and as he started to sink because he took his eyes off the Lord. Keep your eyes focused upon him. Take the time every day. I know we're busy. Take the time to spend with God, okay? 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes to talk with him. Let him talk with you. Let him encourage you. Get in that word. Read. And let it pour into your spirit. Because you see, we are spirit beings clothed with flesh. God lives in our spirit. And we need the spirit of the word of God to be upon that area of our lives. Victory is ours. Keep your hands up, people. Even though it may not look like it. You're saying, okay, Lord, I'm doing as your word says. Father, I'll praise you, I'll honor you, and I'll thank you. God, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, by your blood that you shed upon Calvary's cross, I believe that you will move upon this situation, Lord. Father, I thank you and I trust you no matter what. No matter what, Lord, whatever you want to do. But Father, I want to do what you want to do, Lord God. And just keep your faith in him. Just keep your faith in him. Keep your faith in him to believe God for the things he spoke to you about. To believe God what he's written in his word that you know is true no matter what. Stand upon that word. Stand upon that word. And let God be God. As Otis spoke on faith, that was good. As small as a mustard seed, that's all he asks. It's all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Put your faith in him no matter what. And let God move. They had victory in the end. Hallelujah. Not because of what they did so much, but because they were led by the Spirit of God and they did what God said to do. If we follow his word, we will have victory no matter what. It's in the cross of Calvary, no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the cross of Calvary, and the word of their testimony. My God. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may stand, please. Hallelujah. Father, we praise and we honor you, Lord God Almighty. Oh, we give him praise and honor. Thank you, Lord. As every head is bowed for just a minute, please. I want to ask.